Today's schools are not the same as it was when we were in school. Well, perhaps that depends on when you were in school. But in any event, we have learned through the Zoom learning in response to COVID that many of the things going on in our schools today are very concerning to many of us as parents. In fact, parents have fought back peacefully sometimes, and sometimes have even been labeled by the Biden administration as quote-unquote domestic terrorists. Linda Harvey is the founder of Mission America. She lives in Ohio and has been tracking much of the negative things going on in the public schools for years. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Linda to the program. Linda, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for all you do.
Oh, Jerry, thank you so much for having me on today.
You know, it's interesting. I follow your work, and I've noticed that just as the Southern Poverty Law Center labels D. James Kennedy Ministries as a supposed hate group, they label Tony Perkins as a quote-unquote extremist of hate of the Family Research Council. You've got to be kidding me. And unfortunately, they've said negative things about you. And it's just, it's crazy. It's topsy-turvy. Are you a hater? That's what they accuse us of doing. You know, what do you think?
Well, absolutely not. I joined some very stellar people, yourselves and Family Research Council, American Family Association, and others, in being labeled because of our position, taking a biblical position on homosexuality and gender confusion. That's primarily what the problem is. And, you know, we just have to keep marshaling on, knowing that people who really are familiar with all of our work will continue to understand the truth.
All right, let's set the framework here, first of all, in terms of what do you think the founders intended when it comes to schools and education? And do you think that they would not be happy with what's been happening in the last couple of decades in America, especially in our public schools?
Yes, our founders definitely had an idea that is far different than what we're seeing today. You know, most of the major Ivy League schools were founded not just by Christians, but were founded for the purpose of preparing Christian ministers. We were a deeply Christian nation. We still are, but that seems to be disappearing. And as we get farther and farther away from a Judeo-Christian platform and a way to prepare our citizens by using Judeo-Christian values as the basis, we are seeing our society deteriorate, and that's just exactly what our founders predicted. They wanted us to have a well-educated citizenry that were well-informed, able to vote, but who took their rights from the Lord, from, you know, that we were all people were created equal, and that is where the rights that we have come from.
Okay, comment on the organization that you founded. And why did you even found it in the first place? And through the years, what is it that you really, you know, hope to accomplish?
Well, I founded Mission America in 1995 as an outgrowth of my recent conversion from being an agnostic progressive liberal to being a conservative Christian, where God had opened my eyes to show me so much of what was happening. And as a young mother at that time, now I am a grandmother as well, I began to look around and say, oh dear, what has been going on here with the culture? And I have a background in advertising, public relations, and I put my hands up to the Lord and said, what can I do? I want to use my communication skills now to serve you. And then he showed me, and I kind of backed off at first because the issues that I was very convicted about were very hot button issues, homosexuality, the abortion issue. And I knew I was going to make a lot of my friends and extended family angry with my new direction, but it was what I was convicted to do. So God continued to open up many doors. We were on the internet. We do a lot of conference speaking. I'm a radio talk show host in Ohio, and I write articles for organizations all over the web.
And how did you change, actually, from so-called progressive? And by the way, I feel like that term is so incorrect. I mean, honestly, progressives, they don't stand for progress. They stand for socialism and so forth. But anyway, how did you change from that position to become a born-again Christian back in the mid-90s?
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's really regress. I mean, the things that the progressive movement is advocating today are right back to ancient, barbaric, Old Testament paganism, neo-paganism. And so that just, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But the way I changed was I had a childhood where I did have spots where I had a discipling in Christianity, but it wasn't carried through. And as the sexual revolution came around, I went away from the church and didn't go back and had no involvement in the Christian community at all for several decades. And then I really became a believer actually through the Christian radio station that I'm broadcasting on now. Long commutes, I began to tune in and think, well, I think I will tune in to see what these people are saying. And solid Christian teaching, Dr. Kennedy and others at that time really spoke to me. And I thought, you know what? I believe this. This is where the truth is. And I went from there. And God just used it to open my eyes.
Now, the homosexual population of America is pretty small compared to the general population, but they've been enormously effective in the culture, in the media, and certainly in the schools.
Well, yes, the population of people that are committed to homosexuality has been small. The worrying aspect of that is that when you take surveys of high schoolers and young adults, it is rising rapidly. The number of people that identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or unsure, or transgender. It is now 15% to 20%. It's a varying number because some of them say this for a while, have this identity, and then praise God, they move away from it. But I think, unfortunately, a lot of these kids are hearing one viewpoint. They're hearing it, especially in the secular schools, and more kids are not churched at all. So they don't get this perspective at church. Or, unfortunately, many pastors remain silent and they are not giving the opposite viewpoint that they're hearing in the culture and in their schools.
This is so interesting because I talked recently with Byron Johnson, who teaches at Baylor. He used to teach at Princeton and also University of Pennsylvania before that. And he said, I've talked to him for years about these statistics where the number of professing Christians in America seems to be shrinking and so forth. And he says, well, it's not all as bad as it always seems to be. But we were talking recently about the plummeting figures of those Americans who believe in God. And the number has gotten shorter. And he said the reason why, Jerry, is that a lot of these 18 to 29-year-olds, a lot of the people in school that have embraced the homosexual, the transgender message and so forth, and they feel like, well, Christianity is in opposition to that, so they jettison God, and that's part of what's happening. How about a comment about the transgender movement and the schools, and why do you see that as something that's we should be disturbed by?
Well, we should be very disturbed by the idea that children can change their genders, and this is called gender affirmation. And no, it's not. It's total confusion and actual deviance, as God would describe to us in Scripture, that people were created male and female. And there is, this is a beautiful design by God. So it undermines biblical faith for one thing, but it also creates a situation where children and young people may alter their bodies in ways that they become permanent patients. They will, the puberty blockers before puberty, opposite sex hormones right after puberty in their teens, and surgery. Some of the results from all of the damage that is done to a perfectly healthy body can never be reversed. But there are many, many kids that get into their 20s and they realize they made a huge mistake. They've been sold a bill of goods. They want to detransition, and the damage has been done. Healthy body parts have been amputated. Women are losing hair. Their skeletal the damage to their skeleton system, which is, you know, enhanced by going through puberty and the natural development of hormones. They have osteoporosis early. They are much more subject to things like blood clotting, certain cancers, if they continue going down that road. And almost always they will be permanently infertile. So this is a total scheme of Satan to detract from the beautiful promise of youth, the health of youth, and to get kids off into believing that this is the solution for, you know, the adolescent angst that we all went through. I mean, think of many times in all of your audience, and you and I will both think of the distresses of growing up, the confusion of adolescence. If somebody had come along and told you at that point, you know, it's because you're really a guy in a girl's body or a girl in a guy's body. And if you just change, you know, all your problems will be solved. If you are not churched, again, if you have no alternative viewpoint, you may well buy this. And that's what's happening to a lot of our kids.
Oh, this is just so awful, because you can't undo these things. As you said, this is permanent damage that's being done. And I read some of these tweets that people have sent out. Like I was reading one from a woman last week where I guess at the age of 18, she had been persuaded, and she said, I was 100% sure that I was doing the right thing, that she should become a guy. She should transition to become a guy. So she had her breasts removed. She can never have those restored. This is done. And, you know, it's like you say, permanent damage is being done. They're trying to solve a temporary problem. But, you know, I think part of the problem is this is a fad. This is a craze, C-R-A-Z-E, to use the words of Abigail Schreier, the author of the book Irreversible Damage, on this very transgender issue. This is a craze. It's a fad. It's tragic.
And it has the marks of a cult, because what happens is that in the United States right now, even though this is changing in Great Britain, the medical establishment in the U.S. is on board with this, the mainstream medical establishment. There are many physicians and others that are the minority that are speaking out and saying, oh, no, there's no research to back this up. There's no research to prove that anyone is ever born in the wrong sex body and the damage is permanent. But there is no questioning this agenda.
So, Linda, as we look at the overall issue of education in America, how can we get on the right track? I guess at the end of the day, maybe school choice is the ultimate answer. We have about a minute and a half left.
Right. The school choice is one of the answers. I think my recommendation is always that we need to still be very engaged in the public schools, even if people take their children out of schools, which I highly recommend if you can do it. But if you cannot, we still have to be engaged, because remember, the people that were burning down our cities a year and a half ago, Antifa, the more radical elements of Black Lives Matter, these people were mostly raised and created by the atmosphere of the public schools. We have to, as Americans, stay on top of the new citizens who are being created in these schools, and we need to all be engaged in what they're teaching.
Yeah, and there's such a strong anti-American aspect to so much of the curriculum. 30-second closer on that, anti-American curriculum.
Absolutely. The critical race theory, you know, people need to understand that this is not about equality, as Martin Luther King Jr. would have said. This is about equalizing all outcomes for everyone, and that's essentially Marxism.
Linda, thank you so much for being with us. Linda Harvey, missionamerica.com.